This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant physician leader who's also the Chief Executive Officer of the UConn Health System, Dr. Andrew Akwunobi. Dr. Akwunobi is going to talk to us about how strategy's changed over the last couple of years, what he's focused on today, and a little bit more. Andrew, can you take a moment to introduce yourself and just tell the audience a little bit about the UConn Health System?
Yeah, I'd love to. And thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm Andy. Everyone just calls me Andy or Andy Akwunobi. I'm a pediatrician by training, but I've been the CEO of UConn Health for the last 6 years or so. And UConn Health is the public academic health system for the University of Connecticut. We have a medical school, a dental school, research, a teaching hospital, and various clinics. We're located in Farmington, Connecticut, but we really serve the whole state.
Thank you. And talk about strategy today compared to a couple of years ago and how you look at strategy today.
Yeah, well, you know, over the last 24 months or so, the strategy has really changed, and it's been somewhat short-term thinking because of obviously the pandemic. And I would sort of divide it into two phases. One was sort of the immediate pandemic response, and that was really about survival. It was about, keeping the ship from sinking, you know, so to speak. And we define that as doing whatever is necessary to keep employees safe and to treat the COVID-19 patients. And at that point, you'll remember, this included hospitals and health systems spending as much as was necessary and losing as much revenues as was necessary by shutting down operations, as much as was necessary to stay safe. It also involved doing whatever was necessary to launch a robust testing system. But one thing that all organizations also realized is that just as important was putting the right emergency communication plan in place to prevent panic, because of course, day to day things were changing. So that was the immediate pandemic response. And then we went into the longer term phase, sort of the last 9 months, which has been hardwiring testing, hardwiring what we've learned operationally, biocontainment units, testing everyone before surgeries or on admission to the hospital. So hardwiring that so that we could do it almost on autopilot. But also hardwiring communications. I mean, we put out UConn Health, we have daily a dashboard, which has evolved into an amazing piece of work, where we tell all the employees the COVID-19 positivity, the total deaths of patients, the number of people that were discharged. We talk to them about how many tests and vaccines have been administered, so on and so forth. And this has really become something that people rely on for their day-to-day information. And then we also started hardwiring our PPE supply channels, so that we never go back to the days of shortage. The last phase really has been one of trying to get back to normal as much as possible. So on the revenue side, learning how to avoid, self-destruction in the second wave. So making sure that we kept operations going, starting to be more efficient. So screening, the screening for temperature and things like that, doing that without personnel, using technology to do that, and then getting back to, and then obviously launching a robust vaccination system. So those are some of the things that we've been doing over the last 24 months.
Fantastic. When you look at, really so much that involves sort of giving up revenues to serve the greater public good and really focusing on vaccinations, testing, trying to better prepare the state and the whole sort of greater area for COVID-19. When you look at now this year, as you look at we're into April 2021, going better than 2020, but that's not a lot, that's not a big hurdle. Talk for a moment about the what are the big priorities this year? What do you look at your big priorities this year?
It's a great question for us, and I would think it would be similar for a lot of organizations. organizations. It's really about returning to normal financially, operationally, and strategically. And so building back the financial strength means pretty much trying to get to the pre-pandemic patient volumes, revenues, et cetera, making sure that we're doing that. And of course, doing it safely. And that's why I talked about hardwiring some of the lessons that we've learned. So here at UConn Health, for example, we still test every patient who is admitted to hospital. We still test every patient before they have a procedure, or whether it's outpatient or inpatient. We have our, you know, our plans ready. If there's any spike, we know how to get people into biocontainment units and things like that. But we do that while getting back to normal procedures and normal volume of patients. So that's on the financial and the operational side. But we're also getting back to normal in terms of strategy. So before the pandemic, every health system, including UConn Health, had a strategy for the next 3 to 5 years. Getting back to that, getting people refocused on that, is something that is very, very important to us as we move forward.
Absolutely. So in this key, how will that strategy differ from 3 to 5 years ago? You know, 3 to 5 years ago, so many strategies dealt around, here's our core specialties and service lines, here's our academic medical center, what we're trying to do with that. And it relatively straightforward. We had a win in those areas, win in these areas, not win in some others. How does strategy differ now, fast forward 15 months, 24 months? How does strategy differ in getting back to those strategic objectives? And what's added on to those or changes amongst those strategic objectives?
Yeah. So I think the core is the same. Most health systems are very close, I think, to being where they were before in terms of volumes of patients. The procedures, the surgeries, and everything that we used to do, the outpatient visits. That is the bulk of it. So the strategies are not significantly changed from pre-pandemic to now. But what I would say is that there are some additions, as you mentioned, and some other considerations that we have to take into account. So some of the additions are, for example, remote healthcare visits. Or virtual healthcare visits. So that has become a much bigger piece of what most health systems and what University of Connecticut does. And so the question is, what's our strategy around that? Do we want that to be? Do we want to go? Some health systems have gone to almost all first visits are virtual. So how are we going to approach that? What's our viewpoint on that is important. And then what's the technology that we need to have in place to make sure that we optimize that, et cetera. So that's an example of some of the additions. Another addition is, how do we continue with most efficiently with screening of people that are coming in and testing of people and vaccinations? Right now, most organizations, UConn Health included, is doing their vaccinations in a center or centers. How do we transition that into the physician's offices, into the clinics themselves, so that they're being given just as we used to give flu vaccines and childhood immunizations and things like that? So these are the types of additional considerations that we have to take into place. Another one, of course, is the workforce and telecommuting. You know, how many people are going to come back full time to work? How many people are going to stay at home? That always raises also other questions like, if I'm at home, why can't I be out of state? Should I even be in the same state? And what does that do to someone's ability to come in to the health system for periodic meetings or things like that? So these are, that bleeds into the issue of space. How much space do we really need? Should we be knocking down some walls so that we have common space, like consulting companies do, where you come in and you sit at a desk and then you go home at a joint desk? Or should we have offices? And how much space do we need? So there are considerations. But I think the core strategy of value-based care, how do we evolve from fee-for-service to value-based care? And what is the technology that we need to support that? That is going to continue. And that, I think, is still first and foremost for us. The rest of it is really how do we tailor that for what people are called the new normal.
Thank you very much. And Dr., Aguinaldi, as you look at this year, what are you most excited about this year?
Yeah, that's a tough question because there's so much work, and I sort of alluded to a lot of that that we have to do, and so much of it is not getting to something aspirational. It's really getting back to where we were before in terms of operations and finances and strategy. But one small thing that I am very excited about is the potential that we are going to get to a point where we're not wearing masks and we're able to have meetings in person without being sort of blocked from each other by masks. Now, with the appropriate social distancing, et cetera. I think that we took it for granted when we used to have all of these in-person meetings. We took for granted the meetings themselves and what they bring and the benefits they bring. And the idea that at some point, you know, I can have the whole senior executive team sitting in a big room, talking to each other and laughing and enjoying that enriched social interaction that you get from in-person visits, is something I'm very excited about. Now, how that will roll out, to what extent we'll be doing that, I don't know. But you know, I was talking to someone this morning who was telling me that he was hired a year ago, and he essentially hasn't met anybody on his he's a leader, anybody on his team. Because in person. And so I think something's lost there. And I'm looking forward to when we can get back to that.
You know, it's amazing to hear you say that. You literally, I hear that so much more today than I've heard it yet in the last 15 months. And maybe it's because people are hopeful that we're getting close. This concept of when can I get back in touch in person with people I work with and see in business, professionally, socially, many people are seeing again their family and so forth. Maybe with masks on still, depending on age and other situations and issues. Mm-hmm. But getting back to that kind of personal connection with people that you work with in any capacity, seems that people are very sort of really excited about that and really want to see that. And just some of that feeling of normalcy, that kind of intimacy of being able to actually deal with a person without a mask on and so forth. It's really interesting. You're right.
Well, you know, I'm not a psychologist, and there are people more expert than me that can analyze this. But I have sort of realized over time, after one, it's a great thing that we have all been pushed to really maximize the use of virtual meetings and interactions, and I think that is there to stay and has made us all better as organizations and as leaders and as workers. But I think again, I think we took for granted the non-verbal sort of the body language, the sort of jokes, the way that you can interact in person and be interpreted in the right way. You know, when you say something to someone, it's not just what you said, it's your body language, it's how you looked at them, it's how you smiled, whether you smirked or you smiled or you didn't smile, or, you know, all of these factors, I think, are what we use to navigate the workplace and get things done in a way that's collegial and collaborative, et cetera. And I think we strip away a lot of that when we're just on screen. I'm not trying to say that on screen is not here to stay, but I certainly think that it's going to be a hybrid will be the best approach, I think, in future.
Yeah, I mean, so much of a hybrid in all areas of life, really. I mean, it's some of these things that have avoided a lot of travel and avoided a lot of stress on people have been a huge positive. But at the end of the day, in terms of, you know, deeper interacting with people, you know, we always say people that I work with, not just texting, not just email, pick up the phone. And then at some point it goes to that next level, not just picking up the phone, but going to see somebody, visit them in person. And there's this whole mix of ways in which you interact that make for a much richer experience and much more effective experience. And so we'll see. Absolutely. I mean, the jury really remains out on what it's going to look like over the next couple of years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, and so forth, and what else hits us. But anyways, Dr. Aguinaldi, I want to thank you for joining us. Magnificent system you run, magnificently thoughtful you are. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thank you for what you do, and your company does a wonderful job. So thank you.